Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
I'm HRN's Communications Director Kat Johnson with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We decided it's high time we do an episode about Mary Jane.
Marijuana, things are happening.
That's right. This episode is about pot. We're exploring the rhetoric surrounding legalization in New York's recent gubernatorial primaries. And a cheesemonger turned cannabis consultant shares the tricks of the trade.
Great. So do you want to conquer the world? Do you want to have hazy eyes? Do you want to, you know, just relax all day and be floaty?
And we find out how one exemplary South Carolina farmer is trying his hand at a new crop.
Every plant that comes up from seed is different. And so it's learning how the plant grows, how it responds, and then familiarizing myself and my senses with this plant.
Plus, Hannah Forden and I taste test the hottest new cocktail ingredient, CBD. So subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you listen to podcasts and be the first to know when the newest episode of Meat and Three drops.
And welcome to Eating Matters, where we talk about food policy and how it impacts all of us. I'm your host, Jenna Liute, and we're broadcasting live from Roberta's on Heritage Radio Network. The abundance and prevalence of CBD products has absolutely exploded in recent months, so much so that Coca-Cola recently confirmed the company is exploring creating a line of wellness beverages infused with CBD. Indeed, this past summer, I myself was able to try some samples of my friend Gabe Kennedy's company, Plant People, who produces a range of CBD products, and even my husband started to give our ailing cat CBD oil. So with the rapidly changing and ever-confusing cannabis landscape, I decided it was about time, high time, to do a deeper dive specifically into the CBD industry to learn more about what it is, how it's used, and why it has seemingly, suddenly become so popular. Joining the show to help me unpack these questions is Lisa Gill. Lisa is a deputy editor at Consumer Reports, who for nearly a decade has focused on looking at how well prescription drugs work, how safe they are, and how much they cost, plus the law, rules, and regulations that govern them. Recently, Lisa has turned her attention to cannabis, and more specifically, CBD, to help consumers understand what products to buy and which ones to skip. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to talk about this.
All right. Well, you
that's my favorite topic. You've
written a lot about it. I'm so excited to have you on to tell us all of your knowledge. And you might have noticed that I definitely skipped over the longer form, the non-acronym of CBD, which I'm going to try right now.
You can do it.
Cannabidiol.
Oh my God, you totally nailed it. Cannabidiol.
Yes.
That's even better than my words.
I don't know about that. Okay, this is a bit of a mouthful. Let's just start at the very beginning. What is cannabidiol?
Well, so cannabidiol is one of almost 80 different compounds or cannabinoids that are found in a cannabis or like a hemp plant. And it's just turned out to be like the second most popular one, right behind THC, which is the ingredient in marijuana and or just ingredient in general that gets you high. Mm-hmm. CBD doesn't do that. There's no head high. There's no sense of intoxication. It's kind of a miracle in that way, but it's got potentially some health benefits.
And we're going to talk about what those potential benefits are. But so it's basically a compound. It is a compound, you said.
Yes.
And it's in both marijuana and hemp?
Yeah, so marijuana and hemp. So this is so. I mean, this is really geeky, but I figure if you're listening, you know, you want to get down dirty.
Definitely,
anyway.
So that's what we do.
Hemp and marijuana are actually in the same genus of plants, right? It's the same. It's cannabis, mm-hmm. and they're really closely aligned. But it's almost like having like a German Shepherd and a poodle. Mm-hmm. They're both dogs, but they're not the same. Hemp plants are bigger, their stalks are usually fatter, leaves are bigger, whereas marijuana plants are just a lot smaller and they produce a lot more resin, which is where the CBD comes out of. But they are basically the same thing, and cannabidiol or CBD that comes from either of those plants, it's the same compound. It's that actual exact same structure if you looked under a microscope.
And marijuana, did I hear you correctly, marijuana has more CBD than hemp?
So what happens, typically it does. There's different, I started really interviewing growers and farmers and kind of experts in this area, and you can get a lot more CBD out of a marijuana plant, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you also could get higher levels of THC. And so in the products that we'll be talking about today, the ones that you see on store shelves, have a really, really low THC amount. It's actually 0.3% is the cutoff.
Okay.
And that's how the federal government thinks about the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana, even though there's a lot more differences.
Right.
But that difference is important. And that difference, and so what happens is hemp products are what you're seeing all over shelves. And that's CBD that is derived from hemp.
Okay.
And hemp is such an interesting like background, and we'll talk about it later, of course. But
yeah,
hemp is just a cool crop.
No, I'm obsessed with hemp. I talk about it as much as possible on this show. I think it's like a miracle plant, and I don't really know didn't before I started looking into this, like the difference. I mean, these terms, like the difference between hemp and what, and you know, how much THC it has versus CBD and CBD. And is there a difference? And one of the questions that I have is, is hemp oil the same thing as CBD oil? Or, I mean, because I sort of maybe conflate those two.
Yeah, no, and some of the people who sell products, they also conflate them. But typically, hemp oil doesn't really have CBD in it. And believe me, hemp oil, there's a lot of very good proteins and enzymes in hemp oil, but hemp oil usually comes from the seeds of the plant or the stalk of the plant. And in both of those places, you don't get a lot of THC. You actually get almost no THC and also really little amount of CBD. So that's an important thing. And hemp oil shows up in all kinds of, you know, you can get it in lotions, and you can shows up in hair, like in shampoos.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of all over the place. But also, you can buy seeds, you know, just hemp seeds to put in cereal and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so hemp oil is everywhere. Hemp oil is weirdly legal, but sort of not. But yes, it is, and it's kind of confusing. And under certain circumstances, it's legal. And we can talk about the CBD legality, too. But
yeah.
It's, yeah.
And so CBD, you might have already said this, but CBD comes from, is it from like the flower or the bud?
Yeah, actually both. So it comes from the leaves and then the flowering bud.
Okay.
And really it's the resin. So that's actually, it's like a sticky resin substance that the plant produces to protect itself.
Mm-hmm.
And and there's different ways to pull that resin off. Or keep it there, and you can dry it out and smoke it and things like that. But that's in that resin is where CBD is typically found, and the resin that's on the leaf.
All right. So we talked a little bit about hemp oil, which is different than CBD
right.
oil. And I mean, when we talk about, I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is maybe it's because I'm so food centric, but like CBD oil. But is that? I mean, there are lots of other forms and products that CBD comes in, right?
You've probably seen them on shelves. Like you can get CBD in coffee at cafes. We've saw some places like out in Bushwick that are selling CBD infused coffees and other parts.
We're here right now. That's
yeah.
definitely where you're going to find it.
Let me tell you.
Soon,
but,
I'm sure
if they don't. They might.
Yeah. yeah,
I've seen it in honey. We've seen it in coffee product, like pre-made coffee, other like embottled coffee products, and cold mm-hmm. brew and things like that. We're seeing it in, I mean, basically just tons of food products. That's one place.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in baked goods, there's lots of, and gummies and actual pill forms, which is usually in an oil.
Yeah.
We've also seen it in vape pens and oils that you drop under, so like tinctures that you can drop under your tongue or spray into mm-hmm. your mouth, mm-hmm. And then just like regular old school rolled hemp into like pre-rolled joints or pre-rolled cigarettes, which is nuts, but that you can actually buy that. You can buy it on the Lower East Side.
And so you can buy that, you can smoke that, you don't get high from it. It's just...
Correct.
To treat some of the benefits that are reported from this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
there are thousands of these products. Literally, like there are several thousand SKUs. So those are just like when it's officially registered, as a product.
Yeah.
It's somewhere around almost 3,000, and they expect that to just go like double
of the
in the
products.
Next 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So there are all these products. Let's talk about the legality of it. Because this is, I mean, and it's so murky. All right, so you can sell CBD products in New York, like just broad strokes, CBD in general, their products, are they legal at the federal level or is it on a state-by-state basis?
Right, so it depends on who you ask.
Oh.
So if you ask the state of New York is like, yes, if it's derived from industrial hemp and it's below 0.3 THC, mm-hmm. we're not going to go bananas and stop you from selling it. And a lot of other, so 47 states roughly feel that way. Some of the states don't want you to sell it, but in the state of New York, they don't seem to be too crazy about it. If you ask the Drug Enforcement Administration, they have a complicated, different answer, and the answer, when you boil it all down, is no. It is still considered part of the marijuana plant. It's similar to THC in their minds, and they consider it federally illegal. And then there are a few caveats, but by and large, it's murky. That's the only way I can describe it. And I'll tell you who you don't want to tussle with on this question is the TSA if you go through an airport.
Things that
this is what the TSA told us. The TSA told us that, then this is, to be clear, this is when you go through security and an airport and you're going to check in for your, you've checked in for your flight and you're running to the gate. The TSA has said anything that looks like it's on a Schedule 1 by the Drug Enforcement Administration, which is Schedule 1 are legal substances like heroin, LSD, marijuana. If it looks like that, smells like that, has the same contents of it, we will confiscate it. So that's scary.
I mean, listen, I have my own issues with TSA, like every time I fly, so I don't want to really, I don't need to add another one onto my list of grievances, but that just seems like they're like, if it looks similar, I mean, that doesn't seem like a good enough, evaluation, but whatever.
The only reason I bring it up is that there's two or three reasons. One is that you obviously could be delayed on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is if you have TSA pre-check or something to that effect, it could totally affect that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, forever. And if you get cited, you might never be able to sign up for it.
Or any
other sort of expedited thing. And the other thing is you could get in trouble. I mean, they might try to arrest you. You might have to call an attorney. It could be.
Yeah.
We haven't heard of those cases, but we are a little concerned about them because it's that's federal airspace is a place that it's not legal. I would not try to fly with it.
So did you say that the other three states that where it's totally outlawed, where CBD products are totally outlawed?
Yeah, so there's three. So it's Idaho,
and
Nebraska, and South Dakota.
All right.
And those states don't have, they don't even have medical marijuana programs or anything. There's like all cannabis is outlawed.
And just like side note, where are we in the balance of states who have it like allowed for at least some use of marijuana specifically in terms of either like for medical or even, I mean, recreation, I'm assuming there's like what, like maybe three?
There's seven that currently sell that allow. So it's California, Nevada, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and then a couple more came online. Massachusetts is about ready to begin retail sales.
Wow, I didn't
know
that.
Alaska has already allowed retail sales, right?
Yeah.
Vermont is the same. They've legalized, but they're still working out how to do the retail structure, and along with Maine. So Maine's had other difficulties, but they are also preparing for retail.
Huh. A couple of those are a little surprising to me. But
I know, right?
Yeah.
And there's other ballots. Like there's other states will be voting, referendums coming up in November.
And
New Jersey and New York, they're also talking about it too.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I personally think that, I would like to see this be, de- decriminalized, but legalized for recreation and certainly for medical use. But that's just my personal opinion. But okay, so seven states. So that just seems kind of like the balance is slowly starting to shift from like a state perspective on marijuana. And so it would seem that something where there's no active THC, like you totally can't get high from it, a product like that. I mean, I guess it's no surprise that 47 states have legalized it in some sort. But it is surprising to me that there is no, because usually when you have the balance of states, that is like well over 50% of the states, you know, have agreed that, you know, something is legal, for instance, then like that prompts kind of like a federal law or regulation of some sort.
Excellent observation. So there are several bills in Congress that would kind of fix this issue. And one of them is a really good one sponsored by Elizabeth Warren, and also a senator from Colorado, a Republican. It's like a bipartisan bill called the States Act, and it would allow states, it would formally allow states to determine for themselves whether or not they want to legalize cannabis and to what degree. And so right now, that's what states do anyway, but it's not codified, and there's always a tension between the Department of Justice and the states, obviously. But that's the most promising bill. Actually, the Trump administration has signaled they would sign it if it got before the president. So that's actually really interesting.
Certainly.
I will say a couple other things. So just thinking about statistics, like in a really dorky kind of way. One out of every five people live in a state where marijuana is legal recreationally. So that's kind of a, so those seven states represent a lot of people.
Well, California especially, yeah.
Yeah, right. And where I live, so I've been able to see like the evolution of all of it. And then we did Consumer Reports did a nationally representative survey, and we asked people their opinion on this topic, and we found that 52% of Americans said that they would be in favor of the federal government legalizing marijuana for recreational use, and almost nearly 90% thought it was a good idea to legalize it for medical use.
Yeah.
So the tide has really shifted.
Right.
And we're not the only ones. You can see Pew Foundation, others have Harris polls have come out. There's definitely a wave, I would say, of people changing their mind.
Certainly. It's very cool. So what about, with this like kind of legality question in mind on a state-by-state basis, how does that affect or impact the ability of a consumer to buy it across state lines? Can you buy it online? You know, CBD products specifically.
You can. So even states where it looks like you can, so there's some weird states like Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas, where you can possess CBD, but apparently, like technically speaking, it's not supposed to be sold. Mm-hmm. However, we know there are stores where you can buy it.
Really?
So there are stores that carry it. Typically, it's found in CBD products of all kind are typically found in health food stores, body like sort of supplements stores. Those are the two big ones, and then obviously online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's we've talked to a lot of people that obtain their CBD products online. So as far as we can tell, we did another nationally representative survey. About 10% of all Americans, adult Americans, have tried CBD products, which is a huge amount. That's much more than we expected.
Yeah, certainly.
And this is crazy. 90% said that it helped them alleviate a symptom that they had for whatever reason they used to treat. Use CBD to treat themselves. They say it helped.
Let's talk about that.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. What are some of the purported benefits of CBD of that compound specifically?
Yeah. So here's what's really shocking. There are almost. I mean, I can't underscore how few studies there are.
Right.
I in my previous job for 15 years, I've looked at prescription drugs and all the studies, the medical studies that happen to get a drug, you know, approved on the market, and this is like a fraction of that. This is not even a fraction. It's like just a few. There are from the gold standard way of looking at scientific evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's less than 8 studies ever done on CBD.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy on people. So there's some on animals.
Right.
And in rat studies, we've seen some pretty cool things about suggesting anti-inflammatory aspects. You know, so. And that can, you know, that can mean a lot of things. And what we think it definitely means is probably an effect on pain and chronic pain that people experience. And also probably has some effect on brain chemistry or inflammation in the brain, and people use it to treat anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. PTSD also seems to have an effect there, and even weirdly with opioid dependence. So it's being dabbled with in some studies there as well. So there's wide application for it.
Right, wide application, but only 8 like gold standard sort of kind of credible studies that you guys would point in humans that you would point to say like,
yeah.
So nowhere close to a quote body of evidence is what we're looking at.
No, there is like no. And for so long, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, which is a governmentally funded agency, mm-hmm. was really hampered, not just in studying CBD, which there's almost no studies that came from them, but also cannabis, like marijuana in general. And that's because Congress would only give them money to do studies that had to do with safety and addiction.
Right.
And so nobody ever could figure out, well, how well does CBD work for nausea, for example, or how well does it work for insomnia? There was just no money made available, so we have a long way to catch up.
So I don't want to be kind of conspiracy theorist, and I know as a journalist,
I like conspiracy theories.
You're fact based, and I wouldn't ask maybe your personal opinion on this, but maybe have you spoken to people whose thinking is that the reason why there hasn't been grant funding and a lot of money poured into supporting this kind of research because of like big pharma lobbying?
I don't like that theory.
Yeah.
It's just that after covering prescription drugs for 15 years, I just, there was no evidence to ever suggest it.
Right.
Even anecdotal evidence.
Really?
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Prescription drugs are, the last number I looked at is $428 billion business.
Wow.
It is massive. And the cannabis industry, even recreational, even medical, it doesn't even scratch the surface. It's like $2 billion.
Right.
That's the projected. Huh. That's the CBD business, but
right.
It won't. I mean, it's magnitudes of order higher.
Prescription drugs.
Yeah,
yes.
Prescription drugs. Yeah. And pharmaceutical companies have spent so much money instead trying to change laws in Washington, trying to influence the FDA, which they've been successful on both fronts, trying to fight battles at each state, trying to fight battles with insurance companies. I mean, the cannabis industry is like a little annoying gnat,
right?
If they think of it at all. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm really sitting here trying to search my brain. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying.
No, you're the person to talk to. I mean, yeah. No, seriously, though, if you've been covering these issues, and that's something that maybe I had always, I would kind of.
I like the theory.
Yeah. It's not mine. It's not my, I didn't come up with it. But it kind of seems like, wouldn't they have like a stake to either block this? And it's different. I mean, when you compare kind of like overall industries versus maybe some of the more specific industries, some of the more specific drugs that's like an anti-nausea drug that could compete with potentially marijuana in terms of, the efficacy. But I don't know. Who knows? I mean,
well,
you could also just
exists.
Buy into it.
I mean, that drug exists. That drug is Marinol. I mean, that drug was approved like almost 20 years ago. I mean, I will say this. This is an interesting thing to think about, and it's not very conspiratorial. But marijuana as a plant, and cannabis, both industrial hemp and marijuana, they are very difficult to study. There are hundreds of compounds. So we only talked about.
Right,
cannabinoids,
that's what I'm
asking.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like, and whereas like in a pharmaceutical product, like take Lipitor, right, to lower cholesterol, or Viagra,
right,
to deal with erectile dysfunction. So there's only one active ingredient in that drug, just a single agent, and so there's no that agent doesn't work with anything else in that pill. It just has an action on the body. And then it does its thing. Whereas in the cannabis environment, you've got 70 or 80 cannabinoids, you've got hundreds of different, up to 700 compounds, and then when they're heated or when they're put into oils or
interactions,
they have like the entourage effect. They can work together in kind of mysterious ways. So studying it is, I think, nearly impossible. I don't know how it could be studied. I think that's one of the problems.
So, what does that mean? What does that, and that, what does that, like, mean sort of for eventual regulation or legalization or, you know, incorporation of some of these, like a compound like CBD in more mainstream products.
Yeah. So take what I just said and then add along with that, the FDA just approved a prescription drug. It's called Epidiolex, and it is a CBD-based drug. And it's really high dose. It's not what you find on the shelves at your local food co-op.
Right.
And it's extracted, so it's CBD only. There's no other. There's a few other compounds, but it's not marijuana based compounds. It treats two kinds of childhood epilepsy that don't respond to other drugs, and it shows to reduce the amount of seizures by about 40%. So.
Wow. And this
so the FDA, the FDA thinks that there's promise at this, and so does GS, so does the company GW Pharmaceuticals. So there's a market there, but I don't know
where it's gonna, where it could possibly lead.
Yeah, I think they'll continue to try to find more applications at that high dose. I have no doubt, but it's really expensive. It's going to be in the $4,000 to $5,000 price tag per month
for that epilepsy drug.
Yes, which is kind of crazy.
Wow,
it's really
wow.
Crazy.
Just a whole other conversation about how I think that's like totally inappropriate. But
it's crazy.
But I mean, it's great
that they use that.
Yeah. Well, so when somebody uses a product like that, will that? I mean, who can? That's safe for children.
Right.
Who else can use these drugs? Or not these drugs, the CBD compound. So if an athlete, for instance, wants to take this instead of ibuprofen, I don't know if they would, but if they did, that would not show up on the list of an anti-doping list?
Right. So they removed it. The World Doping Group basically removed CBD from its list of banned substances, which is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah.
I think it's good because, drugs like ibuprofen, naproxen, so basically Advil, Aleve, Tylenol, those are all anti-inflammatories. They do work well, but not everybody can take them.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's stomach can, they can have an impact on your, they can cause internal bleeding, basically, if you take too many of them for too long. And they've got some other risks, too, if you take them over a long period of time. Although not a lot is known about how long people take CBD for and what the consequences are.
Right, it's not really well studied.
It's not well studied, but the early suggestions are that, your biggest risk is a little bit of nausea and maybe diarrhea.
That's what we know so far.
That's at the doses that you would get from buying it at a retail store.
So let's talk about, if you have some of these, issues, ailments that you're looking for relief for, what is the most effective way? We talked about, earlier, you can vape, you can take it as a drop or an oil drop or spray, edibles. Which is the most effective way to kind of get the most benefits from this compound?
Sure. Well, it kind of depends on what you're trying to treat and how long you want to do it for. So people that maybe want to try CBD because they have anxiety at that exact moment, your two fastest ways, if you wanted to do CBD, would be to inhale it through either a vape pen or through a rolled industrial hemp cigarette.
A marijuana cigarette. No.
Yeah, well, it's a hemp, so it'd be a hemp one.
Yeah, I know, just kidding. It's a little Sublime lyric there. And my engineer's making fun of me right now. Whatever.
So, and I try to not use the word joint because I feel like this.
There's a connotation, of course.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a pre-rolled cigarette. That's how I try to think of it, and that's how you buy it.
Yes.
But what's kind of interesting, so it enters your bloodstream right away, immediately, and the effect is just within seconds.
Okay.
And that's important. Now, only thing, here's my advice about vape pens. If you're going to buy one, make sure that they did not use solvents. You should look for solvent-free.
Okay.
And that is because if there some of the old salts, the way that they make concentrated oils for all vape pens, not just for CBD pens, but it uses a substance that, when heated, can turn into formaldehyde. and hurt your lungs. So, and especially if you do it, like if you vape a couple times every day and you vape, you're vaping daily. I would say be very, very mindful of that.
Okay.
You have to look high and low, though. You have to ask, you know, does this have any solvents in it? And if it doesn't, then it's good to go.
I like really hope my brother is listening to this right now.
I know, right?
No. It's CBD.
CBD. So, okay, that's the first thing. But, like, inhaling. So then your second thing is tinctures and oils. And here's a couple of tips about that. So sometimes you can buy sprays that you spray inside your mouth, which is I like because it's like your mouth, your tissue inside your mouth is really thin, and it will go into your bloodstream immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And if you're going to, or you could use droppers and put it under your tongue. And so droppers of oil, hold it there for about like 30 to 45 seconds before you try to swallow it, because it will go directly into your bloodstream that way.
Okay.
I know I sound like a druggie, but that's
no. I mean, there's no way to get high from this. It's just like a medication that you're taking. So.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, here's what's kind of crazy. When you buy a CBD tincture or an oil, make sure that you shake it every time before you use it, and that is because CBD is a sticky. Its molecules are very sticky, and it will stick to the side of the bottle.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so, if you don't shake it, you may be getting an oil, like a coconut oil or something, but you won't be getting any of the actual cannabidiol, which is the stuff, the good stuff that you want.
Right.
So shake it every time. And actually, people, I was also told to shake vape pens as well for the same reason.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Never. Who knew?
Who knew?
Okay.
Okay. So since this is a food, we're talking about. We're not really talking about too much about food today. But if you tried to,
yeah,
exactly. If you want to ingest it through, you know, a brownie or a cookie or having a coffee or something, that is going to take a little longer to work. It'll take about, I'd say, between 30 and 40 minutes, based on all the pharmacologist folks I talked to, because it's going to go into your digestive tract.
Okay.
So it's going to take a little bit longer for your liver and your kidneys to metabolize it, and then for it to get to the rest of your body. But
is that
it's not
as effective?
A bad way.
Is that effective though?
It'll have the same. Ultimately, it will have the same
impact.
If the reason that you'd like to take CBD to begin with is even going to work from CBD, it would have technically the same impact. But I was going to say one thing. So, but if you have things like chronic pain or chronic anxiety, it's not a bad idea to think about the soft gels.
Mm-hmm.
So oils that come in, basically it's just like a little capsule, and you can see the different, there's different dosages. You have to pay attention. And I recommend talking to, you know, if you're at a nutrition store, like a supplement store or at like a food co-op, or health food store, there's usually somebody there that is knowledgeable about the product and can talk to you about the doses, because the dosing is just, we've seen so much dosing variation. There's really no good advice to give.
Yeah, that was a question on my list. How do you know how much to take for each?
Yeah, you just
thing?
I mean, you just start slow, you know, go start low, go slow.
Well, then the other thing I was wondering is, how do you really know? I mean, it's not regulated, right? These products aren't regulated. And so, I can only assume how much variation there is and potentially mislabeling of this product. So how can somebody who's looking into using these products know that they're getting what they really want, or what they think they're getting?
Well, you're asking the $1 million question and you're asking the biggest geek. On the
Good.
Here,
so. That's why you're on the show.
So here's what we learned. So there was this really intense and very cool study that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association back in November.
Mm-hmm.
And these really cool researchers had this great idea, and they ordered 85 products online, or 84 products online. And they decided, and they were all CBD products, and they were oils mostly. And they decided to test them. And they're like, what's in these oils versus what the label says is in the oil? And here are I made a little list here because I still cannot get over this. 26 of the 84 had more CBD than what they stated, which is not terrible.
Yeah.
That's like not a bad thing, but it's not, you know, not great.
Yeah.
Okay. A quarter of the products actually had less. which is not, that's not good because, you know, some of these products can be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy part. Out of the 84, 18 of the products had more THC than what they were supposed to. So the maximum would be 0.3 THC.
Okay.
But some of the products were clocking in like 2, 3, 4 times higher than that.
So did that mean you can get high from them?
Yes. Yeah, that's the, so if you're looking to get high, that's a different story. But if you don't expect it and you are trying to, you know, you want to drive or you want to
treat
go to work
chronic illness. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, or, you know, some people really do not react well to THC. And so you could have a little bit of a surprise moment,
right,
by ordering one of these products. So the answer is products found online can be a little uneven as to what you may be buying, and there are some tips.
Okay, what are they?
And I'd love to share those. So the main one, and this is, you know, it's not readily apparent, but we look for products where they show the test results of those products, and it's called the Certificate of Analysis. And if you're the lingo in the industry is COA.
Okay,
you ask for the COA of that product. You want to see, and that little COA, you click it open. It's usually a PDF of some kind, and it's the test results of that product. And you want to be able to see how much CBD is in there, how much, if any, THC is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, in some cases, may be able to tell you if the product, maybe not so much for like an oil, but if there are any pesticides or heavy metals or other, as long as it's not contaminated, that's the main thing you're looking for.
Yeah, you wrote about that in one of your recent articles. You said that there are two major factors. I mean, we just touched on those, so, you know, spoiler alert. But like, so and one of them you said was the THC amount, and the other was this, you know, the possible contamination of like pesticides and stuff. So that was something I was actually really surprised to read about. I don't know why I didn't think about the connection between those.
Well, you don't normally really think about what is, I mean, why would a product be contaminated? But hemp is a very, very special plant, as you know, because you love hemp so much.
Doesn't need a lot of pesticides, though.
Yeah, well, right. And actually, it absorbs residual heavy metals and pesticides from the soil. So it cleans out soil, but it can wind up in the plant itself. So growers are really, really cognizant of this, and they're testing their plants as they're growing. They're testing the oils that are coming out of it. Mm-hmm. They're testing the final products. Like the really good, you know, the up-and-up growers and manufacturers are doing this. And
right.
So, and here's our tip. If a manufacturer or a product, there's no COA available, don't buy it.
Okay.
And if they refuse to give it to you,
don't buy it.
Definitely don't buy it.
Yeah.
You should be able to see testing results really easily. Now, in my opinion, this is a lot of responsibility to put on a consumer. But if you want to know what you're taking, that is the only mechanism at this moment you can do it.
I mean, I would say that that is not different than the majority of the products in our food system right now. I mean, the consumers really have work pretty hard
to read the label.
Yeah, and understand, you know, kind of what everything means and to look past a lot of labeling claims that are just solely there for marketing purposes. So this is just another of those complicated situations when looking for what to eat.
Totally true.
Yeah. So I wanted to see like how big of a market. I maybe should have started with this, but like, you know, how big of an industry are we talking? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Or you said maybe potentially 2 billion right now, CBD?
Yeah,
is that correct?
No, that's right. And so here's a couple things. So there's a group called the Brightfield Group, and they're tracking, you know, sales in CBD and CBD world. They clocked it in at $300 million back in 2016, which is, you know, that's like a year and a half ago. They're projecting anywhere between 2 and 7 billion in 5 years, and it has everything to do with the new farm bill that is up for the vote in Congress. And you probably have been following that, I'm guessing, quite closely, because it affects so much of the food production.
Yeah,
in the United States, and that bill quite likely will legalize the cultivation, like actual growing of hemp in all 50 states, which would be a huge change for farmers. And so they expect the CBD market to go like gangbusters.
Okay, so I need to take a super quick commercial break so we can hear a word from our sponsors. But when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about potential, you know, what potential policies around this product could be and the future of the market itself, of the industry itself. So stay tuned.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
And we're back on Eating Matters, where today I'm speaking with Lisa Gill from the Consumer Reports, all about the CBD industry. Okay, so before we went to break, you mentioned the Farm Bill and how it could potentially legalize hemp cultivation in 50 states, which would really help the CBD industry explode.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do we think? I know that hemp has pretty bipartisan support, but with anything with the Farm Bill, I'm don't really think it's actually going to ever happen. It's not going to happen.
They have to renew the Farm Bill because there's so much that's packed into it. It's not just hemp. It's food stamps. It's like insurance for crops and loans for farmers. And it's a massive thing. They're running behind on it. I think it's based on the Hemp Industry Association group, mm-hmm. HIA, they feel confident that the Farm Bill will pass with the hemp provision in it. And basically hemp would just become a commodity product, just mm-hmm. like soybeans and corn and all sorts of other products food items that we grow here in the United States. It would be really big for farmers because right now in a lot of states, it's actually illegal to grow hemp. It has been banned for almost 150 years, which if you think about it, that is nuts because so many products, as you probably know, mm-hmm. Come from hemp. I mean, rope, clothing, paper, you can make soaps, you can make biofuel. I mean, it's an endless amount of consumer products that can come from this amazing plant. So I think we'll have growth in lots of areas, definitely in the CBD area because there's so much demand.
And do we know of any kind of specific companies? I mean, I mentioned Coca-Cola at the top, who kind of, admitted that, we may be looking into this and some beverage companies. But, who are the kind of big players who you think will emerge in the U.S.? Or are they even in the U.S. or most of them abroad right now?
Well, the interesting question. I mean, I have not started to look outside and try to look at the bigger picture. I do know this. There are companies that are publicly traded that are mobilizing, and they've told me off the record, they're mobilizing mm-hmm. To put CBD in all kinds of products and open up CBD stores in the way that you've seen an Abercrombie store. Like a Gap. I mean, the kind of, that kind of national retail chain or national retail brand. I mean, that there's a lot of clamoring for that. It's not happening yet because it's still not. There's such a sort of regulatory murkiness that's going on. They don't want to do that yet. But there are companies that are publicly traded who create CBD products. So we know, to some degree. I mean, it's happening. It's just slow. I've had my nose more at the shelf level, mm-hmm. really trying to look at what is being sold, and what do you buy, and what are some of the things you just totally avoid, and that's where I've been focused. Coca-Cola is the one that really came out, bigger than anybody else, saying that we're looking at putting this in our CBD in our Coke products. But I don't know. I don't have a great answer except that it's happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, and do we think that, are there the same barriers like internationally or than there are in the United States? Or do we seem to be, again, the country like a little bit behind the eight ball?
We're the country that's behind. It's been legal in other places. CBD, though, as a product hasn't really, it's really only something that's happened here in the last couple of years. I mean, you couldn't really buy CBD products in Europe, for example.
Right.
But you could grow hemp. You could grow industrial hemp. So we're in a weird, I mean, the United States is in a weird spot kind of globally, but not a bad one. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a little while, and hopefully sooner rather than later. I mean, a lot of states already have sort of research programs. The framework is there, and some farmers are registered with those research programs, and so they've transitioned fields over to hemp production, and there's a lot of interest. There's actually so much interest in it. So I think once the Farm Bill passes, they will be able to mobilize actually fairly quickly, and I think you'll see even like an explosion of products on shelves, and it'll be not just in, you know, it'll be in cosmetics, it'll be in food, it'll be in drink, you know, pre-made drinks and things like that, as well as oils and tinctures and stuff.
All right.
It's kind of nuts if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's like we live in a crazy time.
Well, yeah.
And then there's a whole other issue, too, and I see it on the California side, but in states that are recreationally legal for marijuana, mm-hmm. if you go into a dispensary, you can buy a lot of products that are CBD, mostly CBD with a little more THC than the 0.3, mm-hmm. but I've seen it 0.6 or 1 to 2% THC or even 3%. And then 20% CBD. So, and I've seen it as marijuana smokable products, as well as tinctures, a lot of topicals, which actually can really work well too. So there's kind of this middle space too that's emerging that I think is, I'm keeping a very close eye on that because it's just a cool, kind of a cool space. It's the idea is that it's for basically for, you know, mommies and for other people who want to just have a little more THC than the 0.3. So you want to have a little bit of an effect,
right.
But it's like the equivalent of like one or two glasses of wine and not the 420, you know, like blast off into another dimension kind of space.
Yeah. That's so funny. Like mother's little helper.
Totally. And then, you know, New York, you haven't seen that there in New York yet.
No, no.
But when you move into the recreationally legal space and especially New Jersey will do it first, you know, you'll see like that, the emergence of tons of these very THC heavy products, but there are some CBD, I call it like CBD forward or
right.
CBD dominant. There's the demand for it, I think, is huge.
And these would just be like regular like CBD products that have like a higher amount of, so they're not, it's not
a little bit higher.
A little higher. Okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So you think that's where the market's moving also, or that will be a big growth area.
Yeah. Awesome. You can see it now in dispensaries in both Colorado and California. I haven't been to any in Oregon yet. Or Washington, but that group of products is definitely, it's almost like, it's like for the people in their 40s and 50s and higher, or maybe even their 30s, you don't want to get stoned,
right?
But you want to have just a relaxing time at home,
yeah.
And you're not going to go drive around or you know, get crazy or anything. It's just an interesting space to look at.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up in just 1 minute, but do you have, where can people who are really interested in this topic and learning more and kind of, you know, you have some great like advice, that you've written extensively about in terms of like what to look for and, all of that good stuff. Where can people find more of your work on the subject?
Yes. So you go to consumerreports.org and you just go in the little search field, type in CBD, and we've done about a half a dozen stories. They're all free. And they contain a ton of like really great advice about, look, you know, if you can't find a COA from, you know, a certificate of analysis on the testing, don't buy it. If you can't see how much CBD is in the product on the label itself, also don't buy that. That's another big tip. Mm-hmm. We like to be able to see what is in the product that you're taking. And also, if there's THC in it, you really should be able to see on the bottle how much is there.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and really helping to clarify a lot of these questions around this fascinating industry.
It's super. It's just, it's insane what's out there, and good luck.
Thank you for your help, untangling all of these, you know, making it more clear. All right.
Sure,
all right. Thanks, Lisa.
Take care.
All right. I want to, before we wrap up, give a big thanks to our sponsors for their generous support and thank our engineer, Matt Patterson. Show music is by Tim Archer. All episodes of Eating Matters are available on the Heritage Radio Network website or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know what you think. I'm Jenna Liut, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.